Hello and welcome to D Street Talk podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shatajananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Vishu Vatsa, who is the EVP and Fund Manager Equity at UTI AMC. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Shivatsa.
Yeah, thank you, Shatajananda.
Right. Well, the first question I want to put it across to you is that what is your outlook on the current market scenario and what is the near-term risk for markets, both global and local?
As far as the market is concerned, in the last 6 months, you know, we have seen a very strong rebound after we have hit the lows in during the last week of March. Yep. And I think the primary reason is liquidity. So there is huge amount of liquidity which is flowing into the world thanks to the expansionary balance sheets of the global central banks, and which has also flowed into India. So the last 6 months, we have seen a strong bout of liquidity, as well as the fact that the initial fears of the COVID starting from, say, February and March, I think the outcomes have been a little better than what we had expected sometime in the Feb and March when the lockdown was announced. And there has also been a lot of surprises on the earnings vis-a-vis the expectations over the last couple of quarters. So all this has led to a very strong rebound in the markets. And in fact, if I really look at the composition of the rebound in the last 6 months, probably if I exclude financials from the returns, my guess is the returns have been positive for the markets. So financials is probably the only sector which is facing some amount of stress, rightly so, because nobody knows what is the outcome of this entire resolutions or moratorium, and people are, you know, probably waiting for the actual results to flow out. But barring that, I think people are seeing FY21 as a blip and probably are hoping that FY22 will be a year of a very strong kind of a rebound, and hence are still, you know, probably ignoring FY21 valuations and valuing the markets on FY22 basis. So if I look at the valuation, I think, which is where we are essentially kind of structured on, in terms of valuation, yes, on FY22 basis, the markets are trading at above mean, slightly above mean, but on a price to book basis, I think still it is kind of below average or roundabout average, which gives us an indicator that the market is not too expensive at the moment, but one needs to wait and watch out for in the near term. Coming to the specific risks, I think globally, there is a very big risk of a second wave of infections coming into Europe and other parts of the world, which can derail with the growth. I think that is a very big risk which the investors are focused on the global side. The second part is, yes, I think there has been a very strong bout of liquidity which has helped asset classes all over in the last 6 months. And should that kind of recede, should the balance sheets of the central banks recede, I think that's a very big risk that we need to watch out for. Coming specifically to India, I think India, clearly there's a lot of hope built on the fact that eventually the economy will normalize in the next couple of quarters. If that doesn't happen, if this situation lingers on, or if growth gets postponed, say if full recovery gets postponed from the March quarter to June or the September quarter of next year, that's a very big risk that the Indian markets do face at the current moment, because right now the valuations, the market is premised on the hope that there will be full return to normalcy on a FY22 basis. Any risk to that will kind of derail the markets at this current juncture.
Right. Well, all eyes on FY22, but specifically, what should be the ideal portfolio allocation strategy for investors?
See, I think at the current time, if I look at, probably investor could be better off having a slightly higher allocation towards debt. Mm-hmm. Because as I said, I think the markets are probably not very expensively valued, but it's fairly valued at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the equity allocation could be staggered over the next 6 to 12 months, either through an SIP allocation or to an STP allocation. But I would say it makes sense for people to have a higher allocation towards debt at the current juncture, primarily because I think the risk reward is still in favor of debt if I look at the overall markets in the current juncture.
Right. Well, if you can give us a brief overview of UTI Healthcare Fund, UTI Core Equity Fund, and the pharma sector in the current scenario?
So first on the UTI Core Equity Fund. So UTI Core Equity Fund is a large and mid-cap fund category under the SEBI category rules. Mm-hmm. And it follows a kind of an allocation of 50% towards large cap and around 35% towards mid-cap, and the balance is invested in the small cap. And UTI Core Equity is focused a lot on value investing. So it is marketed as a value fund. And here the objective is to find value stocks. So more, I would say, decent quality stocks quoting at reasonable valuations and having reasonable growth prospects. So we try to see which are the growth stocks which are still quoting at reasonable valuations at one spectrum. The other spectrum, we also try to see deep value stocks, you know, which are totally out of sync with the markets, which have been, you know, kind of had a good past, but are probably going through troubled times at the current juncture. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have our hands on both the spectrums as far as the portfolio strategy is concerned. But it is by and large a value fund, which is clearly evidenced by the fact that if you look at the price to earning ratio or the price to book ratio of the fund versus the benchmark or the peer group, it is substantially lower than both of them. The second is the UTI Healthcare Fund is an out and out a sector fund with a clear focus on the healthcare sector in India, which comprises of both the pharmaceutical sector mm-hmm. as well as the diagnostic and the hospital sector. Okay. Now, as all of you know, the healthcare sector, specifically the pharmaceutical sector, has had a stellar run in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. So the UTI Healthcare Fund has also participated in that, and it has given a very good return in the last 6 months to 1 year. And here the strategy is to invest in the best pharmaceutical stocks. So mm-hmm. we are kind of aligned to the index. I think, you know, we have a decent weights in the top 3-4 constituents of the index, which are the large cap generics. But our focus as a theme within the pharmaceutical sector has been more towards export oriented stocks, because we do believe that this current opportunity gives a very good growth opportunity for companies who are exporting, either in the US markets or in the rest of the world or in API. Mm-hmm. So our allocation towards export-oriented stocks is higher than the benchmark, and that's where we are focused on. And we also have a decent allocation towards the diagnostic and as well as the hospital companies, because we believe that the worst is over for them in the last 6 months, and we should start seeing growth coming back for them mm-hmm. over the next couple of quarters. So there's an out-and-out healthcare focused fund, you know, with more than 20 investments across the health, pharma and healthcare. And even within pharma, it's fairly diversified. There are companies which are large cap generic. There are companies which are mid cap generic. And they are also pure domestic companies within the portfolio.
Right. And in fact, you know, the another question is related to the foreign outflows which are happening. In fact, last week, we have seen plenty of outflows around about $1 billion or, you know, sort of the outflows that we have seen from the cash segment of the Indian equity market. So what is causing the panic? And do you think FII's heavy stocks will be the first target of such outflows?
See, if I look at the last 6 months, I think there has been a very sharp inflows because of the global liquidity. Now, what is happening is there are a couple of events, you know, where probably the global investors are a little nervous about. I think one is the US presidential election. So probably they want to take off some money and then see the outcome and then probably, you know, look to reallocate. And the second is the fear of growth, because they fear that, you know, there could be a probability of a second rise in infection, which can happen across the global economies, which I talked about in the earlier part of the podcast. I think that is causing them to remove some money from wherever they have invested. And yes, I think like if I look at the emerging markets or even within Indian markets in particular, mm-hmm. it comes out as quite expensive if you look at the near-term earnings, specifically when taken into the fact that, you know, other economies are not as badly affected as COVID as we are. So there is a near-term pressure vis-a-vis our economy or our market versus the other emerging market indices. So to that extent, I think we are slightly worse off than others on the near term. However, long-term, our story remains intact. So mm-hmm. my view, these are the couple of factors which is probably leading to FIIs withdrawing money in the last 1 month.
Right. In fact, one of the international investors, well-known Jim Rogers, in a recent interview with a TV channel said that the next decade is going to be, you know, tough for global investors, where expensive stocks likely to, you know, get more expensive and cheap ones getting more cheaper. So what are your views on that?
See, I'll cover both the global part as well as the India part. Sure. So globally, all of us know that, you know, there has been a very sharp outperformance on this so-called FANG stocks. So I think the clear reason is the fact that they have come, they have dominated the sector, you know, where they represent, whether it's Amazon or whether it's Netflix or whether it's Facebook. They have changed the rules of the game and they are gaining a disproportionate share of whatever market that they represent, displacing the traditional rivals or creating a completely new set of an industry. I think this is causing a lot of money to be flowing there because they have also exhibited very strong growth over the last many years. And at the same time, they are displacing many incumbents and as well as creating new industries, which is the reason why money is flowing into those stocks and making them more and more expensive at the expense of, say, probably a value stock.
Right.
Coming to India, while in India, we don't have a fan. But the point is in India, if I look at it in the last 5 years, and if I see the top performers on the over the last 5 years, say in the consumer durable companies or the consumer staple companies or some of the large cap retail oriented banks, one thought that strikes me is that there is a lot of consolidation happening and the bigger players are actually gaining market share and are growing at their profits at a far higher level than probably the average players in the sector or probably the whole market, which is why investors are gravitating towards the high quality stocks. So as a broad theme, if I look at in the last 3 years, 5 years, I think high quality stocks across sectors have outperformed because they have gained market share. They have, you know, improved their return matrices. They have improved their cash flows. And investors have reposed their faith in them by investing more and more into them. And valuations have clearly taken a backseat as far as the investment in those companies are concerned. As long as they deliver the growth with regards to the expectations that investors have set, my guess is they would still continue to outperform. Now, coming to the other spectrum of value, I think in the last 3 years, value has taken a backseat largely on account of two reasons. I think one is, for example, there are a lot of sectors like, say, an auto where there is a fear of investors that what if electric takes over, what happens to the current auto sector?
Yes.
So change is happening very fast across sectors, which can completely disrupt the current incumbents. And people are kind of not giving the benefit of doubt and assuming that the worst is going to happen, that there is going to be a limited terminal life of this particular industry. So let us value it on the next 10 years cash flow or next 15 years cash flow. The jury is still out whether electric will overtake or the IC part or, you know, what will happen 20 years hence.
Right.
But there is a huge amount of, you know, kind of negative expectations which are already built in. It is for the real growth to come out over the next 2 to 3 years, how they manage this transition, which will determine the return in the stocks. But yes, I think a lot of things have gone against them in the last 3-4 years. And the second part is the fact that, you know, a lot of value sectors, if I talk of such as, say, a coal or tobacco, which have borne the brunt in the last 3-4 years, have also been a fallout of ESG investing. Like, you know, there is a kind of a global trend towards ESG investing and it's slowly coming into India as well, which have not favored these traditional value sectors. So my view is that the answer lies somewhere between. It is not that every growth sector stock will outperform.
Right.
People will want to see some kind of a, I would say, a consistent growth in the cash flows as well as in the profits, you know, before sustaining the PE multiples. As well as the other spectrum, it is not that every value sector stock is going to be an underperformer. Again, there could be some winners out of them as well. One needs to be very careful. So ultimately, everything, you know, you clearly need to be have a hold on the business model and as well as what value you're playing for it vis-a-vis the growth. I think that is what is critical before choosing stocks from both ends of the spectrum.
Right. Well, thank you, Mr. Shivasai, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for it.
Yeah, thank you, Shiv.